Our scripture reading from today is from Proverbs 13, verse 22, and this is found on page 458 of your pew Bibles. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. I'm glad, nervous, excited to have the opportunity to discuss a topic that I'm passionate about with you today. Since Pastor Anthony has come to our church, I've enjoyed many of his mini sermons that he sends me in text messages, as I'm sure he does many of the rest of you. Through those conversations and a passion that I have has already existed in me for personal growth, the idea for me to speak today was born. I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy looking to keep getting a little bit better. And I don't speak for a living, so if I look at my notes a little too often, don't tell Pastor Anthony because I told him I wouldn't. So, more specifically, as the title of the sermon suggests, I want to talk today about leaving a legacy. We're all going to leave a legacy. Is it going to be a bad one? A long-lasting positive one? Or will it be one where nobody remembers you were even here or even remembers your name? Who are you? What do you stand for? How will you be remembered by your kids, your neighbors, and the community at large around you? People who have left a mark on their families and communities did it on purpose. They intended to and worked hard to change the lives of people around them. They were charitable on purpose. They were good parents and grandparents on purpose. As Gary read to us in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. When most of us hear this scripture, we think it's talking just about money. But I'm going to talk today about three different ways that we can leave positive, lasting legacies. How we raise our children, whether or not we have a strong work ethic, and how we handle our finances are all important pieces to the legacy that we're going to leave someday. As a parent, I guess I feel the most urgency in trying to figure out how to properly raise my kids. Proverbs 22:9 instructs us to raise up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some studies that I read in preparing for today about that scripture reading explain this to mean that from the beginning, we're supposed to provide instruction and discipline to our children. We got to keep them on the right track. When they're little, we have to put the guardrails on both sides of them and make them do things at sometimes. Sometimes when you say, because I said so, that's the right answer. It's proven that kids who have defined boundaries in their lives are happier, they feel more secure in the world around them, and they feel loved by their parents. That's not to say that our only job is to discipline them. We also need to be available to them. I read a good story that I'll share with you from Meg Meeker in her book titled Hero. I'd highly recommend the book. She has a couple other ones, and other ones about fathers raising daughters and the important role that fathers play in their daughters' lives. She's a pediatrician, and her book is filled with stories from her practice about the vital role that fathers play in their children's lives. This story is her account of an interaction with one of her patients. Timothy's dad was a small-town doctor who worked long hours. Timothy didn't have the chance to see his father as much as he wanted. But when I spoke with Timothy, who was then in high school, about his father, he didn't seem bitter or resentful. In fact, he adored his dad, and he said that he wanted to be a physician too when he grew up. Timothy told me, "I know people think my father should have been home more, and I heard my mom complain a lot. But here's the thing, when I was with my dad, we had a lot of fun together. When I was in elementary school, I remember getting up at night, sneaking downstairs because I could smell his cigar smoke coming from the back patio. I'd go and sit with him and we'd talk. He taught me all the constellations. I loved those nights because when it was just me and my dad, all alone. My mom got mad at my dad for letting me stay up with him. For a while I stopped. Then my dad winked at me and sitting outside became our secret. We did it for years. We'd see who could find the most constellations the fastest. Once we did, we had to say their names and how many stars were in them. The coolest thing was that sometimes he let me win, and other times he didn't. I love that he didn't always let me win because it made me feel that he respected me. Several years after our conversation, Timothy indeed went to medical school, and I can't help but believe that those nights on the patio played an enormous part in his decision. Studies show that boys are much more likely to grow up to be like their fathers if they had a close and warm relationship with them. That stands to figure, doesn't it? Timothy's father probably didn't make it home every night to watch the latest episode of America's Got Talent, American Ninja Warrior, or Survivor, but what he passed on searching for constellations on the porch were life lessons that were going to shape Timothy into the man well prepared to raise kids of his own and be a contribution to the world around him. Another way to leave a legacy for our children is to get them exposed early to actual physical labor so that they can learn to have their own work ethic. Speaking personally, my parents went out of their way to find a job for me to do. When I was a younger kid, we lived in the suburbs southwest of Pittsburgh. And as an 11 and 12-year-old, I had a paper route, and I mowed the neighbor's grass. We mowed a whole bunch of neighbor's grass. In my teenage years, I worked at the McCullough's farm, which I still do today, and devoted a tremendous amount of time to the sport of archery. The hard work I learned through all these activities gave me options and opportunities in my life that I'm certain I wouldn't have had presented to me if I spent my afternoons playing video games or updating my Facebook status. A challenge that we must overcome today, though, is it seems that the opportunities for youngsters aren't as obvious as they were when we were kids. My generation, those of us who currently have the little ones listening to the children's sermon, or participating in CE in the evenings, and especially those of you today that don't have close ties to agriculture, you're going to have to be more purposeful and creative in creating an environment for your kids to learn how to work. Sometimes it might be unpaid. That's okay. But few things in life have the satisfaction of a job well done, especially if it's a job that took a long-term effort to see the results. As I discussed earlier, we need to teach our children a work ethic, but what about ourselves? Are we proud of how we perform our jobs day to day? I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's times we might not live up to the expectation to be good stewards of our time and skill sets. Pastor Anthony has been preaching about the story of Joseph for a while now, and more specifically last week, he talked about how Joseph's work ethic got him through some of the toughest times in his life. No matter how bad things got, Joseph just kept putting his head down and humbly working harder than everybody around him. And he served those around him was the biggest point. The lessons we have learned from Joseph about faith and work are mentioned all over the Bible. It's a very important part of our lives. When we go to work every day, we're shaping a legacy for our families and our coworkers. A book I read recently by author and U.S. Senator Ben Sasse shared an insight. It's called The Vanishing American Adult. And in the book, he says, the deep truth is that work, not money, is the fundamental source of our dignity. Work is where we build our character. It's not in our consumption in this world, but in the practice of offering up our talents for the service of others that we find true value with our lives and that we lift up our own souls. The idea of our work being intertwined with our faith has a long history. We've all heard the word vocation. It's a Latin word. It comes from the word vocatio, meaning a call or a summons. It's defined further as an occupation to which a person has a specific draw or for which he is suited or trained. Specifically suited for, trained, or qualified. The origin of the term were from early Christianity. If you wake up tomorrow morning wishing that Friday was here already, you probably haven't found your calling. We all have something that we're called to do, and when you find that thing, you'll excel beyond your wildest dreams. So leave a legacy as a hard worker who, like Joseph, went out of his way to serve his fellow man in everything he did. Trust me, in the world we live in, if you show up early or on time, and you actually work while you're at work, meaning that you're not updating your Facebook or playing solitaire, and maybe every once in a while be willing to stay late or take on a little bit of extra work, you won't have any competition. You'll be to the head of the pack immediately. And you'll also be an example for your kids, which is important. The final topic I wanted to discuss today, which is my Sunday school class is probably fearing will devolve into some sort of serious Dave Ramsey-style rant, is the topic of money as it relates to your legacy. Jesus teaches us in the parable of the talents to live our lives as servants who have been entrusted with money from our master, money that we will all have to account for someday when he returns. The lesson teaches us that everything we have is given to us by God. We're not all entrusted with the same amount, but we are all entrusted with something. The moral of the story is that regardless of what you have been entrusted with, you are to take those gifts and manage them well. Dave Ramsey, I recently heard, he shared 5 biblical ways to live concerning money so that you can leave a financial legacy. And even though they all concern money, they're not all really just money topics. Number 1, do a budget. However you do it, however you want to keep track of it, if you plan on how much money you will spend for the month, you'll gain traction. And I know we taught the Dave Ramsey class, and one of the biggest things that comes out of it is through that household discussion, you and your wife will tend to be on the same page, or you and your husband, as the case may be. Number 2, get out of debt and stay out of debt. Listen to what Proverbs 22:7 has to say about this. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. If you don't have any payments, the only thing you'll have left is money. Probably the biggest tool to building wealth is your income. So number 3, and this one is the one that I guess I'm referring to. It doesn't necessarily have to be with money, but quality relationships. We all have dysfunctional people in our lives and our families. Dysfunction in your family will cause you to be broke because you will participate in it eventually. Proverbs 13:20 tells us to walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Teach yourself and your kids to run around with the right crowd. I've heard you'll be an average of your 10 closest friends, so it's probably not a good idea to let your little one run around with the bad kids down the street. Number 4, save money and invest it. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. We've all done this. We've at times not kept enough of a buffer in our lives. It's not an act of faith to spend it all and hope for the best. We're supposed to save for a rainy day. If we start early, there's every single one of us can retire with dignity, put our kids through college, whatever your priorities are, and avoid living paycheck to paycheck. Do what you can. There's no excuses for doing nothing, and it's never too late to start. Number 5, and this is probably the most important one, and Pastor Anthony said that if anybody feels specifically drawn, that we can pass the plates back around when I get done. But be generous. People who win with money are always givers. When you give, it changes your spirit. You're the person who will open the door for others. You're the person who carries the groceries for the elderly woman at the grocery store. Generous people tend to be better at the number 3 quality, having quality relationships. And when you have all these things working together, Dave called it a kaleidoscope that is your life. I took it to mean your legacy. One final point on the topic of money applies to everyone here today over 18, myself included, as being guilty. What have you done to ease the painful process of settling your estate if you were to pass tonight? Some of the kindest things I've heard after loved ones have passed was that how good of a job they did getting their affairs in order. They had wills in place and had all their important documents in one place where they could be easily accessed. It really is the least we can do for our loved ones to make our final wishes known. At one of the first session meetings Pastor Anthony led, he shared a video. It's pretty well known by leadership coach and author Simon Sinek. It's entitled Start With The Why. He has a whole bunch of YouTube videos. If you look it up on YouTube, they're all good. It'll take you about 15 to 18 minutes you have invested in it. But the premise of the video is that we can all be motivated to greatness and motivate others if we have the right why in our lives. So what is it that makes you tick? My siblings and I were lucky to have a good model in all these things in my dad. He's never been much for fashion, probably not at all for fashion, very good at sports, or good with showing emotion almost ever. But what he did model for my siblings and I was much like Timothy's father in the earlier story from Meg Meeker. He was available. He worked long hours, sometimes on the holidays when I was a real young kid, but he was always available. He made it to almost all of our sporting games, not always the practices, but usually the games, and he wasn't shy about his feelings against participation trophies at those games, by the way. But he took us camping the summers, fishing on the weekends, and when he wasn't working us around the house, We do fun things. At times when I've been around as coworkers at functions away from work, a couple of them have gone out of their way to share how fair and honest of a guy my dad was to work for. Those unsolicited words always stuck with me. The thing that set the bar the highest, though, was when he selflessly took care of my mother as she passed in 2009 from an 8-year battle with breast cancer. We all got to see, all my siblings and I got to see his work ethic and true love every day in the final months as he went to work during the day and slept on the couch next to her hospital bed at night. My only hope is that someday I can have the strength to meet that challenge if I were ever to be placed in as tough of a situation. So we all have a why. And most of us can think of a model in our lives, like my dad is for me, to try to live up to. So take some time today and the weeks ahead and think through your life and how you want your story to read at the end. If you need help focusing in on some of these areas of your life, the Sunday school small groups are a great way. The special classes the church has been putting on, such as financial peace, university, boundaries with children, the grief classes, love and respect, they're all great ways to meet with people that are in the same place you are and bounce ideas off of them. We're all going to leave a legacy, and it might as well be the one that you would like for it to be. So, if you could all bow your heads, I'm going to close with a quick prayer. Father, please help us all on this journey of life to live lives that honor you and are an example to those in our homes and our communities. It's so easy for each and every one of us to fall down and get lazy in our day-to-day lives. Grant us the strength to live every day with integrity, a strong work ethic, a generous spirit, and a loving heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.